Welcome back to WCULA Operation Pass NCLEX. We're starting a new term, and that means that we've got a group of new graduates. Let's all say welcome to our class of 0121. Congratulations, all of you. We are looking forward to seeing your names pass through the Breeze website as you all obtain your license. Just a couple reminders, if you have graduated, you should be starting to see emails come through from the NCLEX team. They'll be checking in on you, just seeing where you're at in your study progress, if you've been able to go ahead and study for NCLEX, what it is that you're using to study for NCLEX, when you've scheduled your test, or if you've had to reschedule. If you have any concerns or hiccups with the BRN and getting your ATT code, please reach out to Ms. Joan Wheeler, as she is still our goddess of the BRN licensing process. If you're in 493, congratulations. This is the last bit that you have to go before you can test for your license. You will be continuing to work with Dr. Khan and our new addition to 493, Dr. Zakarni. If you're in his class, please say hello and thank him for adding his knowledge to your repertoire as you prepare. Students that are in 480 are going to also be working through Capstone. As you work through Capstone, you'll enter into 490 for Spring 2, and you'll complete Capstone and then start working your way through VADI. This is proving to be the gold standard in which we have to prepare you guys for NCLEX. Now, please welcome Professor Tamara Sharma. She's got a little bit for you regarding pregnancy and pregnancy loss.
Hello, this is Tamara Sharma. I am a labor and delivery nurse, and I'm also a women's health nurse practitioner and a certified nurse midwife. For West Coast University, I teach the course Expanding Family and Community, which is a really long and fancy name for OB. So mamas and women and children are definitely my thing. As I tell people, I'm a vagina specialist. I have loved that field. I still love that field, and it's my calling. It's my passion. But I do know that it's not everybody's calling and passion. So I wanted to take some time today to focus on pregnancy loss. I'm thinking of the memes in my head where it's like what I do versus what people think I do, right? So you know, what your mom thinks you do versus what your spouse thinks you do versus what the world thinks you do versus what you really do. And I think a lot of times when we tell people that we are labor and delivery nurses or that we work with moms and babies, they have this image in their heads that we just cuddle cute little babies all day long and that's what we do. But really, that is not at all what we do. It's maybe a very, very small part of it, but I can't tell you the last time I held a cute little baby. But in labor and delivery, as a labor and delivery nurse, if you are considering going into that field of nursing, it is a wonderfully rewarding field of nursing, and you will never be bored. Every day is different. You get to be triage nurse. You get to act like an ER nurse, right? You get to triage your patients when they come onto the unit. You get to be an antepartum nurse, which is more med-surg and task-oriented. With chronic disease conditions. You get to be a laboring nurse and see these babies come into the world. You can flip to NICU and be a NICU nurse and deal with those little tiny ones or those critically ill babies that really need your care. You can be a postpartum nurse and focus on the postpartum period. You can be in the OR. You get to be in their first C-section. You get to be a circulating nurse. And then also PACU, recovery nurse. So labor and delivery nurses encompass a lot of different types of nursing skills, and that's what I really, really love about the job. But I wanted to take some time to focus on a topic that I don't think we get to focus on enough during lecture, for there's just so much content to cover, and also because it's rare. Most of the time, people think that labor and delivery is a happy place, and they're right. A vast majority of the time, labor and delivery is a wonderful, happy place. But there are times when we are dealing with grief and loss as well. So that can be early pregnancy loss, That can be, a baby that's not going to make it due to medical conditions that are incompatible with life. That could be a full-term fetal demise. So I really wanted to take some time today to at least give you some tools, a few key things that you can put in your pocket or stick in the back of your brain, and how to take really good care of a patient who is experiencing a pregnancy loss. Unfortunately, I feel that this is often not handled well. I've heard awful things that make my ears cringe and my heart hurt when I hear them spoken to patients, these words being spoken to patients. But I don't think it's because the nurse intended it to be mean or unfeeling or not empathetic. I think they really felt that they were trying to offer this patient reassurance or hope or calmness or comfort. But the patient is the one on the receiving end of these words and phrases and nursing interventions. And I think it may be because the nurses didn't have proper training on how to deal with something that's maybe a little bit less common. I think our nursing schools have started to do a much better job in the past decade or two on teaching about grief and dying and, you know, the dying process, but we sort of focused it more on the older patient. Or maybe it comes out in like oncology or something like that, but it is not often discussed in sort of the maternal newborn type of setting. So this can be an insight into the type of care you would provide for any type of patient, really and truly. It's not just labor and delivery nurses who are taking care of patients that are experiencing a perinatal or a pregnancy loss. This can be an ER nurse. Who a patient walks in to the ER and she's having vaginal bleeding and she's going through an inevitable spontaneous abortion. In other words, the miscarriage is already happening and it's inevitable. And how can you take care of this patient? It could be that you are a mental health nurse and your patient is schizophrenic or bipolar, and the type of medication that she's on, you know, if she were to become pregnant, the medical recommendation may be to consider a termination of that pregnancy. So again, even though you're a mental health nurse, you are taking care of the patient within her environment. That's what nurses do best, right? Holistic care. And how will you provide nursing care and comfort to her if she does choose to terminate the pregnancy? Again, that is a pregnancy loss. This may be applicable to you if you are an ICU nurse. You know, maybe a patient had an ectopic pregnancy and she ruptured her fallopian tube and, you know, had severe internal bleeding and needed to be taken to the ICU after she had her surgery. So you as the ICU nurse will be taking care of this patient who experienced a pregnancy loss. So I think this is really to give all nurses sort of tools and phrases and maybe some basic things that you can use in your nursing practice for when you get out there. And also maybe focus, I'm gonna try to touch on a couple things that NCLEX might ask. So even before we get to the bedside, we have to pass NCLEX. So let me maybe pull out some points, key points that NCLEX may ask about regarding perinatal loss or pregnancy loss. So the most often or the most common situation in which I've seen this being sort of handled inappropriately is in the ER. So usually in our urban hospitals, like especially here in the Los Angeles area, if the patient presents to the ER and she's 23 weeks pregnant or more, she will be transferred to the labor and delivery unit. So if she comes in at 24 weeks and she's experiencing severe vaginal bleeding, she will be transferred to the labor and delivery unit. However, if she comes in at 12 weeks of pregnancy and she has severe vaginal bleeding, she will likely be managed in the ER. So I know for some of the nurses who are thinking, you know, I'm never going to have a pregnant patient. I'm never going to be dealing with this. It's going to be those nurses in L&D that take care of that patient. News for you, unless maybe you're going to become a geriatric nurse or something like that, you have a good chance that you will be taking care of a patient who is pregnant, at least in some form or the other. So I think the key with taking care of a patient in the ER who is experiencing a pregnancy loss is to use open-ended and therapeutic communication. That is absolutely key. Yes, we want our nurses to know what to do medically, right? So if she's bleeding severely, we're going to make sure that we have that 18-gauge IV in there, or maybe two 18-gauge IVs so that we can give her fluids through one and we can give her blood transfusion through the other. Okay, we want to make sure we control her pain. We want to make sure that we do all of those normal type of nursing actions that we think about. And we also need to provide support and therapeutic communication and setting her expectations. You know, what can she expect now that she is miscarrying? Isn't there something you can do? She's going to turn to you because you're the nurse and say, isn't there something you can do to save this pregnancy? And I heard the response from, I think, well-meaning, that's not even a word, from nurses who mean well, who, you know, say, well, there's nothing we can do about it now. It's just going to happen, you know. It's inevitable, right? There's nothing we can do. There's no reason to admit you to the hospital. There's no surgery we can do. There's no medication we can do. And unfortunately, you're going to lose the pregnancy. And because it's a sort of natural physiologic process, she's handed some chucks and the call light and says, you know, call us if you need us. And she's left there in the ER to bleed and miscarry. And it haunts me still when I go to perinatal loss support groups that women feel that they were not treated well in the emergency room when they were experiencing, you know, either miscarriage or any type of pregnancy loss. Do not forget that an ectopic pregnancy in which, you know, she needs to go for surgery or we give her methotrexate to end the pregnancy because it's non-viable. We need to address the fact that it is a perinatal loss. And we need to say things like, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm here if you want to talk. I'm here if you don't want to talk. I will stay and hold your hand if you want. I will go outside and give you your privacy if you don't want me in here. Who is your support person? Here are, you know, here's a social worker, you know, for follow-up. Or you may be in shock and denial right now, again, recognizing those stages of the grief process. You know, she may not, her partner may be there and break down in tears, but the patient may not. People grieve differently. People go through the stages of grief in different amounts of time, in their own time. So if you're looking at a test question, it's very difficult to be like, well, I would never say that, right? It's black and white text. You know, we don't have oral boards. You're not taking an NCLEX exam in which you say it with compassion, right? So then you have to look at the text on the computer and pick which one's the right answer. And you always want to pick the answer that allows for more open communication. Give her or ask her a question in which to open things up. You may want to say something like, oh, well, you can get pregnant again. Or the baby's an angel in heaven now. Or, you know, if your bleeding gets worse, we're going to take good care of you. We have a blood bank here or something like that. First of all, those first two things to say are very inappropriate to the patient. You can get pregnant again is false reassurance. We never, ever give our patients false reassurance. You do not know that she can become pregnant again. And or it was an angel in heaven. Maybe that's the way you feel, but it's not helpful therapeutic communication to your patient. So what you want to do is ask a question, or you want to look for the answer on the test that sort of opens up communication. What are you most upset about? What would you like to talk about? Who is your support person? Sort of looking for answers that have the patient tell you more, that open the lines of communication in which to establish trust and rapport, and then direct your patient education and teaching from there. In labor and delivery, so dealing with pregnancy loss and labor and delivery, typically it's a little bit further gestational age. If she loses the pregnancy in the first trimester within the first 12 weeks or so, typically it's managed in the ER or maybe med-surg if she's post-op. If she's in the second or third trimester, because of the involvement of the uterus is a little bit larger, we might have risk of bleeding and things like that. It's a little bit more focused care into our specialty. She's typically brought up to the labor and delivery unit. And we really want to focus on pain management. When a woman is in labor with a live fetus or a live baby, we have to be really careful about pain medication because it can go through the placenta and affect the baby. But with a mom who is experiencing a loss, we are not worried about the effects on the baby. So we really want to keep that patient comfortable. Recognize that it may be a very prolonged labor. Let's say she broke her bag of water at 20 weeks. And unfortunately, we cannot continue this pregnancy. She's at too high of a risk of developing an infection. So we would induce the labor. And if you're trying to induce a labor at 20 weeks, in which the cervix is not ready, and need cervical ripening and, you know, uterine contractions, it's going to be a very long process. So keeping that patient comfortable is key, and also allowing whatever support person she wants in the room, or people, you know, we usually make an exception to the rules. If it's, you know, a woman in labor with a live baby, you know, it's usually one or two people in the room as support people. If she's going through a loss, we often allow more. And with COVID, that is a little different. The other thing I want you guys to remember as nursing students and as nurses is the idea of the color purple. So if you are walking into a labor and delivery unit or a postpartum unit and on the patient's door, on her, by her door number or whatever, is taped a purple falling leaf or a purple butterfly, the color purple signifies loss. So that is a key to you to not go in there and say congratulations, so that dietary doesn't come in and give this patient a celebration tray, you know, that we're not coming in and going, oh, where's the baby? Or what do you need your baby? Did you have a boy or a girl, right? Just sort of giving us a heads up that when we walk in this room, we need to have sort of appropriate demeanor for that type of situation. We do memory boxes. So that's good for those of you who are not working in L&D, but maybe you're working in ER or ICU or other units. You can always call up labor and delivery and ask us for our memory boxes. They, depending on the gestational age of the baby, they can be really small or a bigger box, and we put mementos. So we do footprints. We take measurements on the baby, maybe do a lock of hair. We take photographs. And there are several photographers here in the Los Angeles area who will come and take newborn photographs for free, free of charge, day or night. They will come to the hospital and take pictures of the deceased baby and their family free of charge. So Little Angels and the labor and delivery unit would have all those references and resources for you. So I think the biggest takeaway piece is your compassion. Hopefully we all went into nursing because we're compassionate, emotional human beings. Sometimes the logical, rational side of us really wants to take over when we take care of our patients. Yes, we have to start the IV. Yes, we have to give the medication. Yes, we have to follow the doctor's orders. Yes, we need to get vital signs. Those are all extremely important. And what is also very important is likely to be what the patient remembers most. And when I have these patients come back, you know, I see them in follow-up clinic or they come to the pregnancy loss support group, what they remember most are the nurse's words or even the nurse's lack of words, just the touch of a nurse. You know, he holds her hand, right? She sits down on the bedside next to her patient. They remember those actions from us way longer than they remember any sort of medical nursing type of skill intervention that we would do.
Thank you so much, Professor Sharma, for that wonderful insight. And for the rest of y'all that are listening, have a great week. Study hard, stay safe, and stay warm.